President Obama unveiled his American Jobs Act last night before a joint session of Congress, and he said the plan, which includes infrastructure and school rebuilding, keeping the payroll tax cut for workers, giving tax breaks to small businesses for hiring incentives, and other proposals that have had bipartisan support in the past, should be passed by Congress right now. Right away, to provide a much-needed jolt to the economy.
Laughter is the best medicine.
We will break down the jobs plan, and we will wonder if you want Congress to pass this jobs plan right away this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September the 9th. So what do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or you can tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Steve Smith, political science professor and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm fine. And thank you for joining us. Was it clear enough that President Obama thinks Congress should pass this jobs plan right now, right away?
Well, yes, I think that was pretty clear. I think he used the word pass about 25 times in his speech, which I think was more than merely deliberate. I think he's trying to shift the debate this fall away from a deficit reduction per se into jobs. He's reading the polls. He sees that the public cares more about the overall state of the economy and jobs than it cares about the government's deficit. He's trying to, shift the burden of responsibility from him and on to Congress.
Mm-hmm. Well, give us the cliff notes. What does this jobs plan include?
Well, the biggest part of it, over half of the spending in it, is a continuation of the payroll tax cut that people have enjoyed over the course of the of this year. It'll be maybe $175 or $180 billion of the total package. Very important to working class individuals because that tax takes a big bite. And, of course, it's important to employers because it reduces their part of the payroll tax as well, which means that the cost of employing someone continues to be somewhat lower. In addition to that, they're basically giving a tax holiday to employers who raise their wages, that is, small employers, up to $50 million in payroll. And gives a complete tax holiday for the year for those who hire new or long-term unemployed, and these are pretty substantial changes. Everything else is relatively small, in the neighborhood of $35 billion or $50 billion for things like aid to the cities to prevent teacher layoffs, investments in reconstructing and schools, infrastructure on transportation, the creation of an infrastructure bank. Expanded unemployment insurance. And there's probably about a dozen more individual items that are in the $10 to $50 billion range, all of which are targeted to getting people back to work.
Mm-hmm. He said that there is no reason why this should be controversial, that these are bipartisan ideas in the past that have had support of Republicans and Democrats. Do you see that sort of bipartisan support this time around?
There will be bipartisan support for some of it. Clearly the Republicans have advocated reducing taxes on employers. They're, I think, somewhat divided, at least in terms of the reactions over the last day or so, on the question of continuing payroll taxes for workers. So there's going to be some difference of opinion there. Generally, Republicans don't like the additional spending that's involved because the other foot has yet to come down, and that is the president's plan for paying for this, which will come in a week. And no doubt that'll include some tax hikes for the well-to-do and maybe for some businesses to pay for it, and they'll say, the Republicans will argue that that's a trade-off they cannot accept. So I think the spending parts of this, with the exception of some infrastructure, will be opposed by the Republicans, and perhaps even some of the payroll tax provisions for workers.
So are you not optimistic, then, that Congress will pass this plan right now, right away?
Well, I'm not optimistic at all. The Republican leadership in the House clearly wants to indicate their willingness to listen. They've really toned back their rhetoric here during the last week. They want to be seen as open to serious proposals to do something about the economy and jobs. So they hardly want to be seen as obstacles to improving the job situation. But, you know, there's two obvious considerations. One is that they still don't like additional federal spending, and they realize that if we're going to add federal spending now, that's probably going to increase pressure on them to accept some tax hikes as a part of the budget deal this fall. And, of course, there's probably a sense in which they really don't want this president to have a big victory as we're heading into an election year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's going to be both a policy and a political component to their response here that surely will make it difficult for the House of Representatives, controlled by the Republicans, driven really by a fairly conservative, large conservative block of Republicans, make it very difficult for them to accept large parts of this proposal.
The president made, I don't want to call it a threat, but he said, you know, if you don't pass this right now, right away, I'm going to travel all over this country and tell the American people, you know, who's standing in the way of jobs.
Right. And, of course, this is partly a response to Democrats who've complained that the president really hasn't gone to battle over much of his program. I think it's fair to say that the president pushed hard on health care reform back in 2009, but since that time, many Democrats argue he's been sitting on the sidelines, throwing out proposals, showing a willingness to compromise, but not showing the presidential leadership that many of them expect to see from him. So he's indicating to them, too, that he's going to be there to back them up if they stick their necks out and support this plan. So it's partly trying to keep your own team together as much as it is trying to force the other guys to accept your plan.
We are talking about President Obama's jobs plan that he unveiled last night before a joint session of Congress, and we're welcoming your questions and your reactions to it at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Steve Smith. He's a political science professor and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be sunny and mild with highs in the 70s and low 80s. There is a slight chance of showers in southeastern Wisconsin tonight. And then tomorrow and Sunday, more of the same in terms of sunny, mild weather, highs in the 70s and low 80s on both Saturday and Sunday. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It is 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September the 9th. Coming up later this afternoon, it is At Issue with Ben Marins and time for your views on the news after 4 o'clock this afternoon. What news story this week touched you the most and why? That's your views on the news after 4 this afternoon. And then we will review all the big political news stories of the week in our regular Friday Week in Review. After 8 o'clock this morning, we'll talk more on the president's speech on jobs. We'll talk about the GOP presidential candidate debate, talk about news on Wisconsin's U.S. Senate seat, and much more coming up in our Week in Review between 8 and 9. Right now, we are reviewing President Obama's jobs plan and welcoming your reactions and questions. Do you want Congress to pass this jobs plan right now, right away, as President Obama urged repeatedly last night? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And let's go to the phones and take Harold in West Bend first. Hello, Harold.
Hey, good morning. To answer your question, first of all, I don't know enough about what was presented last night to say yes or no, whether it should be accepted or not. My second point is I'm a small employer, three or four employees at any given time, depending on need. One of the points that Obama brought out last night was that he will give a tax break to employers who hire new people. And I've heard that before, but I don't understand still what that incentive is. I, being a very small employer, will only hire people if I have a need. And I guess I really don't take into consideration whether there's a tax break there to hire that new person or not. It's strictly dependent on, do I have a need? Do I have a workload to support that worker? So my question is there more to that, or what is the substance of that provision?
Mm-hmm. Professor Smith?
Well, the president intends to do a couple of things. One is that for employees that you already have, you will see a continuation of the reduction from just over 6% to about 4% in your the payroll tax that you pay as an employer. And then if you add workers, and it sounds like you're a small employer with less than $50 million in payroll, you will have a complete tax holiday for the additional workers. Or if you give increased wages to the existing workers, there'll be a complete tax holiday on that part of their wages. I think Harold hits the issue on the head. There's been an awful lot of talk about uncertainty in the economy, uncertainty about federal policy holding back employment because employers are uncertain about what federal policy will be. But of course, for most of them, like for Harold, the main issue is whether there's demand for their services and products. That's a far bigger consideration than these tax considerations. Nevertheless, for some employers, there's a fine line between being profitable and not, and these tax breaks probably will make a difference for some. The complete tax holiday on the payroll tax for hiring new employers, according to the Congressional Budget Office, is really the big incentive for hiring. The smaller continuation of the 2% payroll tax cut isn't nearly as big a deal. But I think there could be a substantial effect on employment of a complete tax holiday for new employees.
Harold,
thank you very much.
Yeah, Harold, before you go, what more do you need to know before you know if this is a good idea or not?
Well, there's three or four other points that were brought out last night, and I need to listen to more and to see if they make sense or not. The one point I had which hits home, and that's the one we just talked about. So I do understand that more, and now I need to learn more about the other provisions that were presented last
night. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Gene in Madison. Hi, Gene. You're on the air.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Any politician who votes for a cut of the payroll tax is voting for a cut of the Social Security benefits paid in future years. $175 billion is proposed to be taken away from the Social Security Trust Fund. I guess the state of Wisconsin could cut back on pension contributions to state employees and use the money to help balance the budget. I do not understand how a Republican could ever pass a cut in Social Security taxes, but it seems to be okay for a Democrat to do it.
Is that what this is, Professor Smith?
Well, it is. The payroll tax is what funds the Social Security Trust Funds, so it does create a somewhat bigger challenge to the federal government in solving the long-term fiscal challenges of Social Security. It must be said, though, of course, that this kind of a cut is certainly $175 billion is real money. It's a drop in the bucket of the long-term problems facing Social Security, and a case can be made, as Republicans have made historically, that if you cut taxes and improve the state of the economy and put people back to work,
put yourself in a better position over the medium term, over a 2-3 year period, by reducing the unemployment rate and by re-stimulating demand, you put yourself in a better position to address the Social Security problem for the long term.
The president mentioned that you don't want to increase taxes on the job creators, in a bit of a sarcastic way to Congress last night. He was referring to this payroll tax deduction?
Well, sort of. He was sticking his thumb in the eye of Republicans who were arguing for basically tax cuts for continuation of tax cuts for the wealthy and for large businesses and major corporations. And his tax cut proposals are all targeted to basically small business. These payroll tax provisions relate to businesses with payrolls of less than $50 million. So typically, you'd have somebody with a couple of dozen, several dozen employees who's going to be perfectly eligible for the tax considerations proposed by the president, but larger businesses would not. So there is a distinction, and of course, he pointed out that 90%+ of businesses would be eligible, and that these really are the true job creators and not the larger businesses. Mm-hmm.
Bob in Lebanon is with us. Hello, Bob.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm a dislocated carpenter that's been like 28 years in the trades and went to school a couple years ago, MATC, and got a new job now in manufacturing. And I think that what he said last night is a tremendous thing for construction to get everybody going on that, because that'll just create more jobs for everything from construction equipment to the tires to vehicles to hammers to nails. Everybody would benefit from it, I believe.
Thank you very much, Bob. We're losing him a little bit on his cell phone, but somebody who's an unemployed tradesman likes this, Professor Smith.
Well, I think so. There's a great deal of emphasis in the media on the need to increase spending on infrastructure, and surely we have a deficit of spending when it comes to repairing roads and bridges, moving more rapidly to improve our airports and mass transit. But oftentimes we forget that your typical construction worker is not a heavy equipment worker on a bridge project, but rather someone who's building houses, schools, and public buildings in every community across the country. And so the White House has given substantial attention to that by doing two things, as far as I can see so far in their plan. One is by providing more funding to local governments, which they can then in turn use for local construction projects. After all, most of the roads and bridges and infrastructure projects in the country are actually managed by local governments. And second, providing money for the rehabilitation and improvement of schools, which is employs many of the same people who are put out of work by the downturn in the housing market.
Let's take a listen to what the president had to say about the need to create more manufacturing jobs and to export some of that American-made products.
If Americans can buy Kias and Hyundais, I want to see folks in South Korea driving Fords and Chevys and Chryslers. I want to see more products sold around the world stamped with the three proud words, Made in America. That's what we need to get done.
And how does he propose we get that done?
Well, that's a little bit sketchier in my mind. I don't see a great deal of new investment that would directly affect manufacturing, except for small manufacturers where that would be advantaged by these tax breaks. There isn't the kind of thing really puts money directly in the hands of small business. Now he's given some emphasis to some additional tax credits for investing in your business. He's talking about passing some of the free trade agreements that have been sitting there ready for congressional action, all of which will help open up some markets. And I think the South Korea market is an especially important one for American car and other manufacturers. But this is a far more limited part of his set of proposals, this long-term need to make jobs stay in the United States and to return to the United States. That's a far bigger challenge than stimulating short-term employment.
I'll take one more call from Linda in Monroe before our news break. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Joy. Hello, Mr. Smith.
Hi.
I think President Obama sounded great, and even if he doesn't get what he wants through Congress because of the Republicans, he's right when he says that we can't keep doing nothing for the next 14 months. Now, we're going to have to tax the billionaires like Warren Buffett said we should do to help on the growing debt. And I know the Republicans will fight him for the next 14 months on it. But in the end, I believe he'll be elected to his second term in office. And any other Democrat that says we're going to have to tax the wealthy rather than taking it all out with cuts to Social Security and Medicare like the Republicans want.
Very briefly, react, Professor Smith.
Well, he has a big challenge for him on the reelection side. You know, by most counts, he's in the neighborhood of 200 to 230 electoral votes. These are states where they're probably leaning in his direction. If things don't get much worse and they continue to improve incrementally, he's probably going to hold. But he's at least 30, 40 electoral votes short. And a state like Florida is sitting on the fence. It has 29 electoral votes. Ohio, with about 20, is at 19. Virginia, yeah. A few other states.
Let me hold you there, and we'll talk more about the politics of all of this after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
The next election is 14 months away. And the people who sent us here, the people who hired us to work for them, they don't have the luxury of waiting 14 months.
That's President Obama last night after he unveiled his jobs plan before a joint session of Congress. The president urged Congress to end the political circus and to pass his jobs plan right now, right away, to jolt the economy. The plan includes tax cuts for working families and small businesses and spending to rebuild infrastructure. And we are talking about the plan and the politics surrounding it this hour. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Friday, September the 9th. Our guest is Steve Smith, political science professor and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. And we heard from a caller just before news time, Professor Smith, who thought that President Obama should be reelected and that Congress should go along with this jobs plan. And you were saying that the reelection piece of this was going to be harder than you might think.
Oh, well, I think so. You know, I think he's still very competitive, but over the course of the last few weeks, head-to-head polls that provide a head-to-head contest between the president and the leading Republican candidates show that he's in trouble in terms of the national popular support. And if you take a look at the electoral vote state by state, it looks like he's coming up short of the 270 electoral votes required to win. He's probably at least 30 or 40 short, which is pretty substantial. So we're going to have some states where the battle is going to be waged. Florida is the most obvious one because of its 29 electoral votes. Ohio's another. Virginia's another. And he's probably going to lose some of those that he won in a fairly large electoral vote win in 2008. So he has an uphill battle. Most people think, and I think they're right, that the biggest challenge is to see if he can improve the economy, especially on the unemployment side. With unemployment, the unemployment rate sitting just above 9%, almost everyone thinks that who watches this that he's going to be in deep trouble if he doesn't get that pushed down to closer to 8%. And some of the early estimates of the effect of this new package that he's proposed suggest that it would accomplish much of that. We could get down to an 8% annual rate by sometime in the next year or so if this is adopted. But much of it will not be, surely because House Republicans will object to parts of it. So the challenge is pretty real.
You know, I also sensed last night in this address that the president wasn't only proposing a plan to create more jobs and to reduce the unemployment rate in this country, but he was really making a case for the role of government in providing services for citizens, wasn't he?
He was, mm-hmm. And you know that it has been a big challenge for the Democrats for really since the time of Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. Over the last generation, the Republicans clearly have won the public relations game in selling the idea that government's bad. And Democrats have been arguing for a long time that they needed a leader to champion the importance of doing things collectively in this country, and that there's a number of things that can only be addressed collectively if we'd only marshal our resources properly for them. So that was the case that the president was making. He did set up a larger context in which to evaluate his proposal. Again, he's really trying to reframe the issue away from the deficit. Nobody likes deficit spending. To a more positive view of the role of government services as a solution to our common problems. Now, whether that reframing will succeed is another matter, because the Republicans are pretty good at this, and I think it's an uphill battle when it comes to trying to persuade the public. You know, over the course of the last 25 years or so, more people have called themselves conservatives than liberals. But when you ask them about their support for individual government programs, they take a liberal position more often than not. And so it's that contrast where the overall framing of the issue has favored the conservatives. It's an anti-government kind of view of the basic issues. But when it comes to particulars, the Democrats really do pretty well. So what he's trying to do is translate their success on the particulars to a larger frame of reference. And if anyone can do it, the Democrats have thought here for the last few years, it should be President Obama. And they've been really quite upset that he's been less effective at doing that and given less emphasis to it than they think he should.
A lot of callers waiting, so let me go back to the phones. Jim in Milwaukee. Hello, Jim.
Hey, good morning. What I don't understand, again, with President Obama's approach is the urgency is now on the part of Congress, and he said that there's 14 months to go to the next election and people just can't wait that long. I question why back in January of this year, when he knew what was happening, why he didn't pull this out of his back pocket at that time. In order to get teachers back in the classrooms, when is that going to take place? In January? I doubt it would even be that soon. So there really isn't much of a chance of seeing any of this taking place for months. And if he points to Republicans as being do-nothing, well, they haven't voted down any serious Democrat budgets since he's been in office. They haven't really been able to officially vote down anything, except for his own budget plan, which was rejected by Democrats as well.
Yeah? Right. So it's a day late and a dollar short, Professor Smith?
Well, let me separate that into two issues. The fact that it's late. I think a lot of Democrats would argue that it is late, but they would put the lateness maybe even 10 months earlier than Jim does. Many of them we're thinking that back in the spring and summer of 2010, heading into the 2010 elections, in a period after the enactment of the health care reform legislation, that the president should have seen in the polls an increasing concern about the deficits, that Republicans were scoring points against the Democrats on that issue, and that this was going to cost the Democrats dearly in the 2010 congressional elections, as it proved to be.
And that he should have come up with both additional stimulus, because obviously the recovery was extremely slow, and at the same time proposed a long-term deficit reduction plan of his own, maybe one that would kick in 2 years' time after recovery has taken place. And that instead the Democrats went into the 2010 elections looking completely disorganized and without a long-term vision for improving the economy and addressing the long-term deficit problem. Surely if it was due in July of 2010, it was overdue in January of 2011. I guess from a purely strategic point of view, and perhaps from a good policy point of view, I agree completely. Now, this package that he's proposed, though, is different than the last stimulus, and of course we didn't hear the word stimulus at all in any of this. This is a jobs program, so they're trying to change the language here to sell it more effectively. But the fact is, I think the early economic estimates show that this actually will have a greater impact during its first year than the stimulus did a couple of years ago because of the kinds of programs that are built into it. It's true that you're not going to rebuild the schools or put teachers in the classroom instantly, but over the course of the next 12 months, in anticipation of the next school year, an awful lot of that money can be put into the schools. And, of course, the tax cuts could be recognized instantly. That is, they'd be extended for calendar 2012. So as soon as we get there, they take effect. And much of the infrastructure spending for local governments, for federal projects, can be planned right away.
Thank you, Jim, for the call. Tony in New Berlin is with us now. Hello, Tony.
Yes, good morning. I guess I have 2 points. One would be we run long-term deficits in the trillions of dollars in Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, but we're willing now to reduce the flow of revenue into those agencies and increase those long-term liabilities even greater. And I guess in a long-term sense, history has shown us what irresponsible spending and rampant debt leads to. It leads to slow growth and high unemployment. And our answer is always spend more money. You know, down the road, we'll worry about, you know, cutting the debt and something else. But now we need to spend more money.
All right. Professor Smith.
No. You know, we actually heard only half the story last night, and the other half is going to be in a proposal from the White House next week on deficit reduction. You know, there is a deficit reduction process now underway on Capitol Hill involving the so-called super committee. They're charged with coming up with $1.5 trillion in deficit reduction. The president said last night that he's proposing that they add the cost of his proposals to that target. The word this morning is that the White House is going to come up with a plan of their own that is well beyond $2 trillion. On the Senate side, there were important developments over the last couple of days. At least a couple dozen senators of both parties have met, and they're talking about a $3 trillion deficit reduction plan for the next 10 years. So, you know, there is a process in the works. We don't have reason to be especially optimistic about how that's going to turn out, but the fact is some of the major entitlement programs, including Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, will have to be a part of those plans if they're going to work. Now, keep in mind what our challenge is. It looks to me that if we renew the Bush tax cuts at the end of next year, we extend some of the breaks associated with the alternative minimum tax, continue to provide some kind of a fix to Medicare payments to doctors, that we're going to be $5.5 trillion in the hole over the course of the next 10 years. And so, you know, we made a down payment in the debt limit bill where we came up with about $1 trillion worth of cuts. We're on target. We're supposed to come up with 1.5. The president's going to propose more than 2 trillion additional cuts. That's a total of 3, but the challenge is more in the neighborhood of 5.5 or 6.
So that's why we're seeing these additional efforts to come up with much, much larger packages. And so I simply agree with Tony that, there's a bigger challenge here. But the $175 billion for a payroll tax cut, continuation of the payroll tax cut, is just a drop in the bucket of that $5 or $6 trillion challenge.
We are talking with Steve Smith, political science professor at the Washington University in St. Louis, and we're welcoming your questions and reactions to President Obama's jobs plan delivered last night before a joint session of Congress. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. It's going to be a sunny, mild day today. Expect high temperatures in the 70s to low 80s. This is the Ideas Network.
The agreement we passed in July will cut government spending by about $1 trillion over the next 10 years. It also charges this Congress to come up with an additional $1.5 trillion in savings by Christmas. Tonight, I am asking you to increase that amount so that it covers the full cost of the American Jobs Act. And a week from Monday, I'll be releasing a more ambitious deficit plan, a plan that will not only cover the cost of this jobs bill, but stabilize our debt in the long run.
That's President Obama last night as he unveiled his American Jobs Act before a joint session of Congress and talking about how it would be paid for. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions and wondering if you, in general, favor his plan or not, why or why not, and we welcome your questions. Our guest is Steve Smith, a professor of political science and director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. Janice in La Crosse is with us now. Hello, Janice.
Hi, good morning, Joy, and your guest. Thank you for taking my call. To me, it's just more government rhetoric. I mean, we're trillions of dollars in debt, and now we're going to throw more money into this jobs thing to make it more trillions into debt. It's like, this is ridiculous. Too much big government. I can't wait for 2012 and a Republican president because, you know what, things are going to have to change. They're going to have to start cutting, get some revenue. We can't keep spending like this. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, all this wasteful stuff that people have been doing forever. It's like, no, you are going to have to stop spending. You don't have the money, so don't spend it.
And, yeah. What about and, what about the unemployment, Janice?
The unemployment, we don't even, you know what, it needs, Joy, it has to come, no more big government, Joy, get back to the states. I love listening to the Republicans the other night. All these governors, run your state, like Walker's trying to run Wisconsin in Perry, Texas. Run your own state. Get out of big government. I mean, I get government out of my life, period. Get down to where we can manage ourselves, which is back to the states, and let's make this thing function again. It's dysfunctional. Big government is dysfunctional.
All right. Thank you, Janice. I'm wondering, Professor Smith, what about the unemployment?
Well, you know, we are at a juncture in our politics where I think the future role of government really is the issue. Now, these issues are always end up being compromised, but the fact is that we do have two very different approaches to our economic problems, the unemployment challenge, and so on. And I think it's fair to say, though Republicans realize that it's not good public relations to say it openly, that their view is that we can't do a lot about the short-term unemployment problem, that we really ought to reshape the structure of the federal government and its role in our economy for the long term. So they're arguing for substantial changes in the level of government spending, a sharp reduction in a wide variety of government services, and a lower tax base, a lower revenues for the federal government. Now, most of them don't really believe that this should shift to the state governments. They don't want a one-for-one change of government dollars from Washington to the states. They want to reduce taxes in the states, too. So they're really calling for a substantially different role of government in American society, and they don't think that the unemployment problem we're facing now really can be addressed by government. Their view is that we really can't do much about that, and we should just accept that and look for long-term policies that will keep the economy going. Democrats, of course, argue just the opposite, that that's not realistic in this day and age, that there is a that the way the world economy works is that our national government has to be proactive in managing the economy. The level of services required to be competitive in the world today, providing strong education, building a modern infrastructure, building an internet, getting high-speed internet to everyone, is really a function of government. It can't be done by the private sector, or if it's done by the private sector, it's done far, far, far too slowly. And so there's a role for government services that cannot be for which there are no substitutes in the private sector. So we have a fundamental disagreement, and you know the last caller reflects you know one of those important points of view.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Janice. Scott in Wausau is with us now. Hello, Scott.
Good morning. I thought the president's speech was very good, and I think it's in the Republicans. The ball's in their court to actually do something. But the one thing, like what the last caller said, I'm curious why those who think that there's too much big government always want to make cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, the things that affect the middle class and the poorest, and no one wants to look at the deficit created by the Republicans by starting two unnecessary wars that have created a tremendous deficit. No one talks about the trillions of dollars that's costed and continues to cost and will cost into the future.
Mm-hmm. Professor Smith?
Well, certainly winding down the wars is going to be a big plus to the bottom line on the federal budget from purely a fiscal policy point of view. That could, you know, it could make a big difference, and it's worked into some of these long-term estimates. Even with winding down those wars, we still have a $5 or $6 trillion deficit over the course of the next 10 years. And so it's quite substantial. Most of the increase in federal spending over the last 10 or 20 years is due to health care spending, health care costs. And when I look at some of the best analyses, that looks like about one-third of it is due to just simply the aging of our population. And the other two-thirds of it, certainly at least half, is due to actually the cost of providing health care to each individual. The increased expense of technology, prescription drugs, and so on has really ratcheted up costs. Medicare and Medicaid, the two major federal health care programs, one for the for seniors and one for the poor, are where most of these costs go. Mm-hmm. And so it's inevitable that if you're serious about long-term fiscal management, you have to address the health care cost issue. And we're still not hearing either side get very serious about that question.
We have less than a minute. Do you see any parts of this jobs plan passing Congress right now, right away?
Yes, I think that there's probably, in the end, going to be in a payroll tax cut extension. I think this tax holiday for employers who are engaged in new hiring is probably successful. And I think we will get a new dose of infrastructure spending in one form or another.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure, Joy.
Steve Smith, political science professor, director of the Wiedebaum Center on the Economy, Government, and Public Policy at Washington University in St. Louis. We will talk a little bit more about Obama's jobs speech coming up in our Week in Review after the news after 8 o'clock. Many other top political, state, and national news stories to talk about, too. Stay with us for that. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Amanda Magnus for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.